Thanks. Saints, thanks for your patience, right?
Absolutely. Okay, let's get this right. Salvation. The moment we believe that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and he was buried and rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, we receive salvation. We're saved. Rescue from that eternal lake of fire that we're saved from hell. The three aspects of our salvation that we want to look at or have in our understanding, the first one is, and that's supposed to be a CA, I'm writing fast, justification. What follows our justification is our sanctification is our, and one of the things we want to understand is that all three of these are up front the moment we believe, right? The moment we believe, we understand we're declared righteous, but also the moment we believe, we understand that we have a promise of a glorified body, and we are promised that we will be in the heavenly places with the Lord Jesus Christ up in the air, and we'll be with him there for how long? Forevermore. Or as members of his body, we're going to be the members of his body up there in the heavenly places. A further study, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be in the earth, ruling and reigning with the nation Israel. The fullness of his body is the body of Christ that fill up all in all. Another study, just something to, you know, keep in mind, like, wow, we're going to be in the heavenly places, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be ruling and reigning with Israel down here. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Let's read this thing again. Let's read the word of God and see what it has to say. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish what? Foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So it's foolishness, the word of God says, to those who are saved, to those who are unsaved, that for us to do nothing and to trust what Christ did on the cross for us, that he died, he was buried, and he did what? And he rose again, right? And I just love when Pastor Scott say it, because he says that and that. I write fast. Sometimes my letters is, you know, kind of wiggly. But that and that alone, one of the number one things that make that foolish is that word alone. You mean to tell me in the privacy of your heart, this gospel message was shared to you. You didn't share it with nobody. You didn't walk the aisle. You didn't raise your hand. You didn't sign a card. You believed that Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again on the third day. That and that alone. You mean to tell me this thing just doesn't save you? It doesn't. You don't got to maintain your salvation. It's going to bring you all the way over here to this glorified body state of eternal life, and it can never be in jeopardy again based off what you believe in that and that. The unsaved sees that as, what's the definition of foolishness? Lack of sense, lack of judgment, stupidity. You really believe that, Jeremy? That and that alone? You use a little common sense. I can understand you think that it may stop something, but it's going to fulfill it to the end. You see, the reason why I want us to think about this today, I got another 2.5 weeks. I'm someone who habitually thinks about things seasonally. Let me explain what I mean. May 8th is my birthday. Always around the time of May, I start to number my days. I start to remember, okay, I'm about to be 42 this year. All right. The world view success is this. Lord, this is how you view success. This is how you view what an ambassador ought be, what an ambassador should be, what I should be doing it, the way I should be doing it. Right now, I am, by your grace and in your strength, by the power of your might, how faithful to your view of success. Now, your view of success and my view of the world view, or even my view of success, at times go call your view of success, Lord, foolish. Another 2.5 weeks, my wedding anniversary. I'm serious of thinking about my marriage. Now, with thinking about my marriage, I have to recognize that, guess what? You know, the unsaved individual, they don't just see our salvation and faith alone in what Christ has done as foolish. This is in every avenue of life. They also see our sanctification as foolishness. Our practical walk, how we live out. Let me get some verses in. Come with me to Galatians 2:20. This beautiful part about the Word of God, it corrects you and encourages you. It reproves you and encourages you, especially in this dispensation of the grace of God. It does something for you, like telling you about how the unsaved view your justification. It's also going to give you a heads up that the unsaved view your sanctification, the renewed mind doctrine that we live out. They see that as foolish too. They don't see that as wisdom. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with who? I want you to think about the unsaved readiness. The unsaved readiness. Tell me how smart they would think this was. Let's continue to read. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Confused already, right? But this is what it is to be in Christ. This is what it means to have that renewed mind. This is what it is to put on Christ, to put off that old man. You see what we have done? We learning right now in our sanctification how to put off that foolishness of the old man, and how we think about not just marriage, and how we think about our parent life, basically our family life, our job life. Are you ready? Our local assembly life, our community, everything that we maybe once admired and how we view these, when we start to have that yet not I, our whole perspective about marriage, parenting, family, job, local assembly, and community, it's all under reconstruction now. So it's things that in my unsaved life that now I started to see in my saved life. Wow, it is contrary, like Galatians 5 says. But I repeat, not just in my justification. For those who are still perishing, when they see the way we operate, when they understand why we think the way we think, what we do the way we do, you think they're calling us smart? You think they're calling us smart? And if I'm not careful, and if we're not careful, we are going to be opposing things that we should be opposing in our practical sanctification. You really want to touch the ground, and people getting nervous and people getting shaky. Don't you talk about marriage right now. Don't you talk about parenting. Keep family life up out of here. You are my business. You're talking about my job. It's how I make my money now. See, this is the beautiful part about when we look at Galatians 2:20, and we look, it's pointing to every avenue of life. Every avenue of life. And it's very, very, are you ready for this? Encouraging when we understand the access that we have to put on Christ. This is not my next 40 something minutes talking or sharing the word of God with us has nothing to do with condemnation or belittling. I'm praising God for the access that He has fully given me the moment I believed that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Amen? The moment I believe the gospel that saves, and then that alone, I'm praising God for the riches of his grace that's now at my disposal to live out what he required of me. Wow. How many of us was unaware, or when we think of marriage, when we think of, sometimes we go in so many places and not in the place of, do you understand what I've given you access to? You do understand, in my foreknowledge, I know that your wife ain't going to be perfect in all things, and your husband ain't going to be perfect in all things, and I still said, submit willingly. And I still said, love her as your own body. And I still told the son and the daughter, our father and mother. Oh yeah, my foreknowledge. I know the end from the beginning. I know the eyes don't get rolled. I know the lack of appreciation. I know this. I know that. I know this. I know that. But I'm going to give you access to, we can look at these verses, the love of Christ. I'm going to give you access to my son's love, and I'm going to show you when he commended it and what good he wasn't doing when he dispensed it. Praise God. Galatians 2:20, let's finish it up. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. What Paul is doing is what he said in Romans 6. He's reckoning himself dead. Amen. He's reckoning that newness of life. He is acknowledging every good thing in him, which is in Christ Jesus. This is how that sanctification life pours out, when we start to acknowledge what was given to us. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I believe that. The word of God effectually worketh in those who do what? I believe that. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of who? Who loved me and gave himself for me. Cross-reference note, 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul reminds us of who he was. He was before a persecutor, a blasphemer, injurious, an unbeliever. He acknowledges everything who he was, and yet I'm a pattern of what Christ is doing, of who Christ is saving. So Paul, you being that pattern, now you're saying that the life that you live is by the faith of the Son of God. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. So Paul, you go teach me how to do what Christ said he did to you in the state that you was in, with no appreciation for who he was, how he lived out his love and gave out his love to you. You go teach me how to give that to everyone in every avenue with every sphere that I'm at. Let's do it. Amen. Amen. Gotta go here. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Do you believe what the Word of God says about who you were? And do you believe what the Word of God says about who you now are? Many people who are saved, they still have a hard time believing that God doesn't say anything good about them being just them. God has nothing good to say about me and me alone. He has everything to say about me in Christ. Wow. Do I believe that is the question? That's my question. That's the question for us. Romans chapter 5, start at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom also we have what? By faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have access to the faith of who? The faith of Christ. You know what that, what does that word access mean? What does that word access mean? Entry into some place. Entry into something. We have access and entry into his power, his love, his grace, the fruit of the Spirit, which all of these are going to need if we're going to have the yet not I. The fruit of the Spirit. Amen? Let's continue to read. So watch, it's because of the access that we have that even verse 3 follows the way it follows. This access produces a mindset and views tribulations in a way that the world would see only a foolish person to talk this way about tribulation. Joy in tribulation. Experience. You ain't real. No. The key is, it's not me. Verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Did that sound like something that an unsaved person would take joy in? That they are we glory in tribulations. Also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Somebody help me with this verse. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to come right back here. You want to leave your hands here. Leave your hands right in Romans chapter 5. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, we are going to look at verse 2. Let's read, follow along. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Book of Hebrews, written specifically and directly to the Hebrews, but this is a nice interdispensational truth. The body of Christ can really learn something about this in this verse. Let's read it again. Looking unto Jesus, right now, are we looking unto or for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back and rapture the church out of here? We're looking for that, right? We're looking for that. We're told to, right? The author and finisher, is he the author and finisher of our faith? He is. Now, let me be clear again. I understand this is written directly to the Hebrews. In no way am I trying to turn Hebrews into a body of Christ book that we're supposed to be gleaning from word for word, okay? I'm not doing that. But I am putting emphasis on 12 and 2. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Do you know it's a lot of us living out the faith of Christ that has to do with 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and mine. Somebody know already because I'm going to say 1 Corinthians chapter 3 what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the judgment seat of Christ that only the saved will be at. Now, let's think about this for a moment. Are you ever hurt when it comes to marriage? Do we at times hurt one another? Do we at times in our parenting truly are unappreciated, looked at as, you know, mean or whatever? Sometimes, occasionally. Has that ever happened to your parenting? The family life. Sometimes do we bring the hurt to the family life? Are we hurt sometimes in the family life? On the job, if we are living out the love of Christ, sometimes is it shame with the stuff we keep our mouth closed about, with the injustice that we see, with the unfairness that we see, okay? In the local assembly, is everybody acting gracious all the time with the love of Christ? Are we appreciating each other and holding each other dear the way Christ holds us dear all the time? No. In our community, the same thing. Why did I go there while I'm making this reference? Do you know your gold, silver, and precious stones is going to be based off not you even doing the right thing, but you doing the right thing the right way, with the right motivation, with the right love. The love of Christ. The love, meaning, am I willing to endure with his love for what's to come? Having that judgment seat of Christ at mine, that knowing my salvation isn't at stake, but gold, silver, and precious stones is, me experiencing a joy not to see my works burnt up, that I did something still maybe the right way, the right thing, the wrong way. To see gold, silver, precious stones, it means His Word did effectually work in me. He gave me the access and equipped me to do something that He said, that's what I was talking about. That's what I was talking about. That's what I was talking about. I don't know about you. That's going to be a joy that a coach can't give me. Can't nobody on this planet give me the joy that will give me. That's what I'm talking about. Good job. Good job. You really understood this. You really understood you can bring this to not just here, but here. And you kept that judgment seat of Christ in mind. Why do you put up with me sometimes? Why do we put up with each other? Are we doing it with the right love? Are you doing the right thing the right way? What's our motivation? This is motivation. Look back at this verse. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross? He understood what was coming for the sake of what was coming and what the recipients would be able to not live out. I'm going to endure this thing. The Lord said, I'm going to endure this for the joy that was set before him. And then he tell you what the joy set before him was. Despising the shame. And is set down, this is where he is now, at the right hand of the throne of God. At the right hand of the throne of God is where I'm going to be. I'm going to endure the cross, the shame that come with it. Save yourself. You say you save others, you can't save yourself? Huh? His blood be on us and our children, they said in Matthew 27. Enduring the shame. Looking forward, though. Not just trying to calm the situation down for the moment. Looking forward, though, what was set before him. I got to look forward if I'm going to put on the love of Christ the right way. It helps me to know if the judgment seat of Christ coming. And that, guess what? Stay in Hebrews, go to chapter 4 now. You see, I could deceive you. And guess what? You could deceive me. But let me tell you someone who I'm not going to deceive this. I'm really doing the right thing the right way. Am I really thinking about the local assembly the right way? Okay, cool. We show up. I show up. You show up. Are we really thinking the right way about it? I hope so. Hebrews chapter 4, watch verse 12 and 13. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What do I mean by that? That's me really doing it the right thing, the right way. If I receive gold, silver, precious stones, I'm thinking about the local assembly the right way. Even when we go in ministry together, even when we parent, even in our marriage, even in our jobs, the right way is trying to do it in my strength. You see, I like you a lot. So since I like you a lot, I can show some meekness to you because I like you. I can't say the same thing go for that sister over there, though. I can't say the same thing go for that brother. Okay. You're not using the love of Christ. See, if you got a connection with her, you got a connection with him. It ain't the love of Christ that's equipping you to do what you're doing there. Do you know how many people, how many saved individuals go maybe drop their jaw at the judgment seat of Christ with all the wood, hay, stubble that they thought was gold, silver, precious stones? When I showed up, I was there, I did this, I did that, you did. It was in your strength, though. You did. You didn't get out of my love. You didn't get out of my strength. You did. But you did it the wrong way. Remember the one thing that Pastor Leroy, Pastor Lee, always shared? I just love it. Should you steal? No. Why did he say he did not steal years ago? Is that giving his grandma the props to her? Or is that giving the word of God the props to it? If that was his basis for not stealing, is that gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, stuff? Because it's giving who glory? And who is not getting the glory. You understand the significance of this to look ahead? Because we get so caught up in what we should. We're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. We get so caught up in faith and sight. I'm doing the right thing here, but you know what? God knows the intents of your heart, Rondell. God knows you why you're doing that. Because it's something that maybe you go ask him a month from now or her a month from now, so you go through a little manipulation up in there now. It's like, baby, I got this for you. And we do this, we have, or someone has, but we want to be careful that we do the right thing the right way. What's your because is what I'm asking. What's my because? Why am I going to long suffer with you? Why am I going to say, why are you going to do it for me? Why are we going to do it for one another? And with who love are we doing it with? That's what we should do, right? Okay. Back to Romans 5. I'm going to be here next couple times I stand up before you guys. I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to stay right here, looking at this topic and really delving into it. You know what I'm saying? Really, really looking at it and looking at it. Verse 5, Romans 5 and 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of who? Is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts. Now, this love, it's going to even be explained on when it reached to us. What was the state we were in? Watch verse 6. For when we were yet in due time, Christ died for the who? Ungodly. That's another thing that the unsaved see as foolish. You see, now, see, Rondell, you got it all wrong. God helped those who helped themselves. See, when you stop drinking, God can intervene. When you stop smoking, God can intervene. When you stop swearing, God, you understand this? He died for the ungodly. You got to stop doing some things, and then that's how you get closer to God. We already heard that before, right? I'm about to start going to church to get my life straight. Or, you know what? I will go to church with you. I just don't got my life straight right now. For the ungodly. Let's continue. Verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man someone would even dare to die. Now, you know where this is following up, right? We about to be put in the category of, we ain't the good man. We ain't the good man. But there's an illustration, there's an example that, listen, mankind is, you know, certain people in life that they take a bullet for somebody who's good. He's going to tell you who Christ took it for. Watch verse 8. But God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet, Christ died for us. We wasn't the good ones. God said, let me tell you who I died for. Sinners. Those who are in opposition with my righteousness. Those who oppose me. Those who can't do right by me. Those who don't please me. I died for them. The enemies. Let's see. In the same chapter. Let's go to verse 10. 5 and 10. For if when we were enemies, we was reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his. We living out all of this. We living out, yet not I died with him right there. Saved through his life. I'm going to live this resurrected life. His power. I'm going to live out his power. This is, I repeat, saints, this is where this gold, silver, and precious stones live at. This gold, silver, precious stones don't live in me doing the right thing in my power. Come to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 here. Please, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 here. Do you know how many people, I repeat, it's going to be a crying shame how many individuals will be at the judgment seat of Christ who's thinking that they're going to be honored for doing things in their strength. The right thing the wrong way cannot and will not be rewarded. If so, why all this love about, why all this talk about the love of Christ? What, is it the love of Christ that's training you? Or is it, I can do this. There's another thing I love, Pastor Scott said. You know what, Lord? I know I usually do, but I'm going to handle this one without you. I got this one. I got this one. I needed help over there. Needed help over there. But you know what? Me and my wife, we love each other so much. I got this one. I got this. How often is that our way of thinking? We don't got a verse or a plethora of verses that's pushing us, that's encouraging us, that's motivating us. That's straight us. That's just the danger of not giving yourself a sentence to read it. I go to church all the time. Church didn't change me. Church didn't change me. Rondell, I said I go to church. How often do you hear that? I go to church now. Not so much, you know, Romans 5, 1 Corinthians 1, Philemon. I love the book of Philemon. Love the book of Philemon. We're going to detail why. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Watch this. Jump down to verse 25. Jump down to verse 25. Watch this. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than man. I want you to, while we're reading this, what I want you to do right before or right after, right above this, I'm going to put the judgment seat of Christ for the saved, okay? I'm just abbreviating that. I want you to keep in mind that what we read in 1 Corinthians, think with that mindset as you live out your sanctified life. Think about your mindset. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. You know what's going to endure those, the gold, silver, and precious stones that the fire? Those who prove that the wisdom of God is wiser than man. Meaning, the wisdom of God is wiser than my wisdom. You see, a lot of times we don't mind saying how smart somebody else is not. But how often do you remind yourself of how smart you're not? Uh-oh. Professing themselves to be wise, they became. You see, we big on recognizing what he lacked, what she lacked, what they lacked. But I'm going to let you know, I just ain't like them. 26. For ye see now, Paul, for to put us in our place. Where God will put us in our place. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And catch that, wise after the flesh. I am smart. I got a degree over here. I got a degree over there. I'm always reading. I read a book a month. I'm talking 300, 400 page book every month. I do this. I do that. I don't go. That's what they glorying in. That's what they glorying in. Now here's the scary part. How many of us who go to church faithfully, study the word of God faithfully, don't even realize you might be glorying in our flesh? If we are doing, I repeat, the right thing the wrong way, that's glorying in the flesh. Please allow me to keep beating at this. Please don't get frustrated with me. Because the flesh is always contrary with the spirit. So every waking moment of your life, your flesh is looking, how can it find props? 27. But God has chosen the what things? The foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and have chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things of which are mighty. He has chosen things that he tells us the world will see as foolish, and I want you to put what they call as foolish is really my wisdom on display as you live out this sanctified life. When you start, think about this. Women endorsing willing submission to their husbands in marriage. How many women is endorsing that and will say, sister, you smart. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to willingly submit. I'm going to willingly submit. Husbands, loving them, their wives, as themselves. Listen, man, yo, you got to get yours. I'm telling you, homes, don't share bank accounts. Get married, don't share a bank account, don't give her access to your bank account. God, just stay separate. You know, get the ring, but stay separate. You know, I'm going to submit to him when he do right by me. I'm going to love her when she don't give me so much lip. Okay, well, God committed his love toward us, and then while we were yet, okay. You see how we always got to bring it back to, okay, when did Christ dispense love to us? What right were we doing? Meaning, another thing you want to remember, a teaching like this is a case against my love before his. It's foolish for you to make a case against your own love. Then what you doing? I'm studying, baby. I got to make a case against my love. I'll be right with you. Don't let the fool get cold. I'll be right with you. Making a case against my love. Have you made a case against your love? The reason why our marriage works is because we love each other so much. We love each other. Okay, well, that's the basis that you're standing on. That's what that means. The moment one of y'all started to act funny and not love the other one so much, guess what's going to come? See, the love of Christ knows how to love because it's based on the giver, not the receiver. Don't rather, how many people going to be, is everybody going to be saved? It's his love offered to everybody. It's his love offered to everybody. Does he know all the good that everybody does and all the bad that everybody does? Does he still offer his love to everybody? That's the love of Christ. Our love is, you better not embarrass me in front of my family this weekend. Don't do it. Why you say it that way? Why you do it this way? Okay, I'm about to go and hide out. I'm about to... This. It's so conditional. It's based on... Show me right, and I'll show you right. Take care of me, I'll take care of you. Do you know what Paul instructed Philemon as he gets ready for Onesimus to return? Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication that you bring out, that you display, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You know, do you know what Philemon is going to have to fight for? I'm going to have to fight to not remember Onesimus loved me. He ran away against my will. I didn't tell him he could leave. He's going to have to fight to acknowledge every good thing in him. He's going to have to acknowledge the forgiveness given to him. He's going to have to acknowledge Christ's meekness, Christ's gentleness, Christ's love, Christ's joy. Because if he don't acknowledge that, come on in, Onesimus.
Right there.
My light of acknowledge. Brother! My brother! That brain coming out. Yo, let's talk. Tell me about when you and Paul was here and there. What were some of the things you were saying? What is Christ doing here? What is Christ doing there? You know about the glorification of Christ? I can't wait to meet you and brother Paul. I'm aware of my ignorance. Are you aware of your ignorance? Now we got access to his love. Now we got access to his joy. Now, acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. My marriage will stand on those hinges. If they don't, I don't know how long it'll last. I don't know how long I can keep the one job I got. I don't know if somebody goes. Do you understand when we deceive ourselves and say, hold on, well, your marriage, see me, my marriage, we going to stand because we so in love with you. Okay, if you that confident about that, okay, brother. Okay, sister. I'm going to have confidence in something that already told me how it handled difficult situations with unruly people. That's why I'm so concerned about myself and others when we around unruliness. Now put your love to the test. So you really know how the love of Christ will respond.
No, you know how the love of Christ will respond. Amen. We know that. Let us continue. Verse 28. And base things of the world and the things which are despised have God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Things that the world esteems. God says, you know what? I'm going to esteem what the world calls foolish, and everybody in time is going to see that what the world esteems, nothing. Their understanding of nothing. Their understanding of how to parent, nothing. Their understanding of family, nothing. Their understanding of success on the job, nothing. Their understanding of what the local assembly posts to, increase the number, family here, refresh. Who got the donor say? You got this, you got that. We're going to make this just a happy place. If we open the Bible, it's not such a big deal if we do it though. They really don't got to get open. I'll tell you what, just come share. Make sure you hug everybody. You in charge of hugging people. You in charge. Come into nothing. Community. It's not so much about share. Just everyone is your neighbor. Just be neighborly. Just gospel that God knows your heart. Right? God knows your heart. God wants you to just care about your community. Not so much you got to get out there and share and maybe hand a track out and ask someone what you know about salvation or look for a door of utterance. You really got to be nice to people. The gospel not that important. God knows your heart. Is that out there? Is it people who can say they went to church faithfully that if you paid them $1 million to show them what a gospel was, they couldn't receive that meal? Put the cash right in front of you. Turn to the gospel that saves today. That's yours. It's going to come to nothing. Nothing. 10,000 people week after week going to that congregation. Some congregations got 60,000 people. Week after week. Where's the gospel that saves today? Matter of fact, everybody in this 60,000 congregation, there's a million up front of you can say. How many people maybe won't even raise their hands? You understand? This is what the love of Christ is up against, but giving us access to live out of us. God gave his life for us, to give his life to us, to live his life through us. And guess what that means? And this dispensation of the grace is all based off what the giver has. The receiver can reject day after day, time after time, but because this is the dispensation of the grace of God, it just keeps digging. Now, when it comes to an end, it comes to an end. But guess what? It has. It's just dispensing. Let's continue. This is why he's going to do that. Verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his what? Here's our sanctification, saints. 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, and he still ain't done. Watch this. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in who? Not his flesh, not his might, not his understanding. Not, this how you do marriage. Don't listen to this. This how you do parent and family. This is what true success is. The job you have, it got to be this type. If you work in this type of job where it's a lot of manual labor and you can get hurt, that really ain't success. Success is as you keep climbing up, you can do less and you can get paid more. That's real success. Is that out there? Is that type of thinking out there? The real success is white collar work. You can't be the blue collar. You don't, local assembly. You show up, you hand out your Sunday school books. And then the offering go around. And you take your communion once a month. It's coming to what? Nothing, God said. But guess what? The things that the world sees, that's what I'm going to use it to come to nothing with. this is what I'm exalting, what the world sees. God said, I'm going to exalt this. And he said, for one reason, they go understand the power of the preaching of the cross. See, denying that, they go really come to find out how foolish they were, but it's going to cost them a dear price. Now, what our job is to be careful to make sure we esteem it, we put it on display, and we dispense it as something, as we turn, as we close, come to go to Philippians chapter 3. We want it to be seen as Philippians chapter 3. Let's start at, we're just going to start at verse, we go read verse 3, and then we go jump to verse 7, okay? Philippians 3 and 3. Paul says, for we have the circumcision which worship God in the what? And rejoice in who? And have no confidence in what? Watch verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for who? And yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of who? My Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul put such a high esteem for the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is just an introduction to us looking at the love of Christ. I want us to really look at the love of Christ, and I want you to see how the love of Christ is in opposition to my love for Christ. The love of Christ teaches me how to live out Christ. My love for Christ, it's so, are you ready? It's so unstable. It's so wishy-washy. Somebody can talk to me the wrong way at church. Okay, the pastor heard that person talk to me like that and go act like King Bill. Oh, okay, that's why I ain't going there no more. You catch that? You catch that? My love for Christ doesn't know how to love the local assembly the way that I ought, the way that I should. The love of Christ can teach me how to conduct myself in the local assembly. The love of Christ can teach me what I am to be sharing in the community. And what's just a, maybe a little sidebar to the big picture. Here, I'm going to shovel you snow. I got your snow this week. And sidebar. So you say thank you to me. Uh-oh, they said thanks God. Praise God. It's not a problem. It's not a problem. I'm just rejoicing in the Lord. I was just saying, you know, hymns to myself and thinking about how awesome Christ is. And I said, you know what? You didn't get to your snow yet. I got you. Don't worry about that. Another sidebar. What you call yourself doing? You looking ahead, ain't you? Are you really thinking about that judgment seat of Christ right now? You thinking about gold, silver, precious stones, and understanding that all your work going to be on display. This is not a judgment seat that we can say, yeah, I'm going to call in today. I ain't going to be able to make it to that judgment seat. Oh, no. There will be either wood, hay, or stubble, or gold, silver, precious stone. Please understand, this is not, you can skip this. Can I be honest with you? Me knowing I got to face that, I got to acknowledge that and take some action out of His love. From His love. Isn't that awesome for the Lord Jesus? Isn't that awesome in His Word? I'm giving you a heads up on what's to come. And I will also give you access to equip you to where and how to receive the gold, silver, precious stones. I'm keeping none of that secret from you. Because I would like for you to receive the gold, silver, and precious stones. But just like our brother Jack was talking about in Sunday school, although I still saved you, you have free will. You have free will whether you go about it with your love or with my love. Choice is yours. Go about it with your love. Can I let you know something? Salvation is still intact. Glorification is still yours. Go people about it with my love. You got some gold, silver, and precious stones. You got some joy, like you bring me joy, I brought you joy. You will, in one way, have a sense of acknowledgement that you went about this the right way. And you already know not the glory in the flesh. You're going to be giving me glory with every step of the way with the gold, silver, and precious stones. Because if it's all about your flesh, you ain't receiving gold, silver, precious stones. Praise God. Floor is open to any questions, any comments.
Praise God. Awesome. Glory to God. You took from us, you just knowing that Christ loved for us, love for us. Understanding that His grace, something that He did to us, it gives God a heads up on how when people, around us, and I just want to share, with the guy I work with, he always, every other day, tomorrow I was getting another tattoo or whatnot, he said to me, he's like, I will show you my tattoo, you know, because I guess he's doing, you know, he showed everybody, matter of fact, I learned from another co-worker what the tattoo even was, but he said to me, he said, but I don't want to offend you, you know, like that, and so, you know, he it was like a guess. I was like, oh, you know, so, you know, your choice or whatnot, right? And so he was like, yeah, then he started saying about religion and stuff like that. And I was like, trying to assure him. I said, oh, I don't have to see a tattoo. I said, but your choice, you know, of however, you know, like you perceive whatever. So when someone ended up telling me what it was, it was Sally, because I said to him, you know, it's Christ that he offended. You know, I'm saying, like, not me. You know, I'm saying, like, the ignorance that people do towards Christ is towards Christ, but they don't realize, you know, they put it in a, like, it's like you're doing something to me. And sadly, it's a, you know, explicit about your God, and then it got a burning church, you know, and so somebody told me that. I'm like, first I would want to see something like that, but I was sitting there thinking, this is all, no, I'll be joking. I'm like, because he got like some sort of mental issues. I'm like, you know, somebody, matter of fact, reported it. He had had it on, put it online, like, you may need some sort of help, you know. But besides that, I love it when you go over messages like this. I mean, I love it. Everything is right with the Bible. Everything is straight from the Word of God. The marriage, the parent, everything that you lined up and you have put there first, you know, like the marriage. It is so huge for people to recognize the order of how things should go according to the Word of God. I really appreciate, you know, like Dexter Moore, and I just shared, I sent my husband a text out of nowhere. I just was sitting there thinking of, I'm saying, like, Christ's love, and you know, how we continue to individually grow in the Lord. And that is so true. It's because of what we're doing, it's through Christ's love that He has for us. I said, honey, I said, I love you today more than what I ever have. Like, and that's like, I really meant that. And then what did I follow it up with? Not because, you know, like you surprised me with those bouquet of roses. It's a man, because what we're doing individually in the Lord, I'm saying, like, continue to edify and build up our mind, our knowledge. This is why.
His love for us.
This is why, yeah.
Understanding His love for us influences how we love everyone else.
I mean, like, how we, everybody, like you said, how we going to respond to this, how we going to respond to that, how we going to respond in a time that's not so great. That is just so huge, and I'm saying that to say, I mean, that's the key. His husband and wife should never be offended or anything when it's saying, like if it said, because, you know, like, if it's not Christ, it's not single. I'm saying, like, and that's just the key. I mean, first of all, Christ said it. You know, but that's what's going to happen. You know, I have a happy wife, been a happy life, you know. Oh, my wife always right. That's why we've been married for 70 years and stuff like that. We're like, that's crazy.
Amen. Praise God. These are deep speak or judge.
You don't have to look for opportunity to display the love of Christ. All you have to do is wake up. You don't even have to leave the house. You know, right in your house is always an opportunity. Once you leave the house, you're in a community. Once you leave the house, you're in the community, you're at work. So it's always an opportunity to display the love of Christ. And like your wife was saying, they'll look at your kindness as a weakness, not a weakness. This is the love of Christ. Don't get it twisted. The reason why I ain't doing what the world is doing in this particular situation is because I'm displaying the love of Christ. And so you try to, in every situation, you try to wear that.
Amen. And I'm endorsing that. And Jack, I see I'm endorsing that. And I repeat, this was barely an introduction because one of my greatest fears is doing, I repeat, the right thing the wrong way. Some of us are naturally passive. If I'm not careful, me being a passive person, I can tell myself, see, that's just out of the kindness of my heart. Is that the love of Christ, or that's just, it's easy for me to just be passive? Some people, it's easy for them to be passive. Some people can be disrespected in front of 100 people and say, don't worry about it. When we don't have a verse to give reason to why we said, don't worry about it. This is the goal of this study. Is it really out of my kindness, or is it really out of this verse, that verse, that verse? Understanding now lives in me. Now it's going to come out of me. Strip away those verses. I repeat, there's still some unsaved people who know how to be more kinder than me. But it's out of whose strength, though, with that unsaved individual. They exist. Let's not deceive ourselves without the verses being built up and rooted and grounded in His love, without understanding His love. That's me living that out of my strength. Which many people are going to find out they're not going to get rewarded for. Many saved people are not going to get rewarded for. Brother Jack, please. Sorry, sir.
Back to the beginning.
Share it, you understand it, you put it out there. That gospel out there. You said it, you're 1 through 4.
You could put that on. But I guess I'm trying to help God. But I can't do that. You know what I mean? And that's bad. But I still, you know, say, well, a lot of people think it's foolishness. And they do.
And they do.
Because you can tell by conversation. And I just sit back and if I'm talking to a person to say, you know, face to face, I sit now all the same time I'm thinking on that one word they said. I said, what can I say to them? I can get them to come to 1 Corinthians 3:15.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I come up with something for them, it's like they're looking, that ain't that book for me.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to do something. No, you don't have to do that. All you have to do is believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know what, Jack?
No,
I'm sorry, sir. Continue.
That's where I think, well, then when they come back and say something like that, I say, well, I can't come down on it like that. But it is foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it, but they can't see that.
Mm-hmm. because their mind is not open up to that. So I'm looking at that word for and God, and let's get into the scripture and say, well, God isn't just anybody that doesn't believe in God is a fool.
The fool says in his heart, there is no God.
Yeah, right. And I look at that too. I know the scripture's in here, but I have to find these kind of scriptures too, which is.
Amen. Just keep giving yourself a chance to read.
I don't want to say about the whole thing. But people know they did something wrong. They know that.
Stop it.
And they're kind of just to. I have to go back to that. Just to believe that they think, well, you know what? Yeah, I see this, but. I got this, and they put that butt on the end of that.
I encourage all of us, you know, myself, I encourage you to still take that same position that God takes. What do I mean, that same position that God takes? You talked about it in Sunday school, the free will. God gave Adam and Eve the free will, but he gave them the free will still with the informational truth.
Right.
Free will, listen, that tree right there, don't eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. The day you do, you will surely die. Gave the information, now let them choose whether they would or whether they would not.
Right.
That's simply what we do. When we want to become, as we become more God-like, we go about it the way God goes about it. Shares the information.
Gets out the way. Whether they believe it or not is on them, but guess what? You can know whether you when you leave them. They know now.
They know now. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Anything else? If that's everything, please, please.
But that's just a quick reminder of, you know, what we need to do as far as the board to that goal. And then, because I always think of pushing these nine, Paul says, knowing not that they which run in the race run all, but one which is desired. So run that you may obtain. Every man that started for the master is tempted in all things. And so he's encouraging us to be in that race.
As we all are occasionally, right?
All too often. But to have that in the back of my mind constantly, okay, when I talk to this person, when I'm going here or doing this or whatever, that should be my ultimate motivation.
It helps.
I'm feeling that vibe. And the temperance and all things is just one of those aspects that helps you, okay, that's going to help me show school for the person. I'm going to be a bad person. Because prior to understanding this knowledge, I'm all over it. You know that. If we're doing it with our own strength, what we really want to do, we can add crazy situations because of what we feel like. You know, as the angry, I'll be bitter, well, I'm going to be arguing without thinking down the road, thinking for the future, like, okay, this is a concept.
Thank you very much.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. For His words. Anything else?
I just want to say one quick thing, and I know it's going to be a good thing. I think about, you know, not taking things personally and not being offended by things. And just going back to my coworker, like, not going to treat him as I shouldn't, you know, differently or anything, you know, like that, but just making sure that your utterance, if it becomes, you know, one, that I can try to share, you know, like myself, you know, to try to get his mind right, you know, because sadly, the average, and I'm telling you, like, I would have been there one day just being churchy and being out there, you know, and you don't even ask me about, you know, seeing the tattoo and seeing all this stuff about, you know, Christ and burning church and all this of that. When I heard about it, you know, like I said, that was in my mind. So, like, oh, that's what it is. Oh, look at, you know, still going to treat him the same exact way. And then hopefully, you know, one day
And once again, that's the beautiful part about studying God's word, God's way. And we can get so dependent to reading, even the individual who's going through what he's going through. Remind you of Paul instantly, right? You just said he got a tattoo of a church burning, of opposing God. Isn't that what Paul was doing? This beautiful thing, the word of God puts a hope in you that no one is out of reach. They still their free will of choice. But is there anyone who is breathing that we can say is out of reach? The word of God says no. That's why, you understand who God saved when he saved Paul? What he was doing? Man, that produces a hope, doesn't it? No one's out of reach. Lord, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your peace. As we go on from this place, Lord, but not from your presence, not from your understanding, we go praying without ceasing, Lord, praying for this lost and dying world, praying for those who are saved but don't understand how to rightly divide your word, that they come into a knowledge of the truth. And in connection with the message today, that we learn to make a case against our love, but totally for yours. Totally for yours, Lord. Our marriages need it. Our parenting need it. Our family needs it. Our community needs it. Our job needs it. And our local assembly needs it, Lord. Your love, may we learn how to put on display. And in doing so, that's where the glory lies, giving you what's yours. Acknowledging your love is how we bring you glory. May we be careful to do so. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.